provided in by this ordinance to enforce compliance as long as the hazard continues to exist. Which I don't know that nuisance glare constitutes a hazard, but I'm trying to understand what exactly does that mean.
So the township can enforce the ordinance, and in another section, so there's a whole section of your ordinance, I think it's in the article that addresses the administration section. There's an enforcement and remedies section. That's what that is referring to, I believe.
Okay, so it just tags you back to taking somebody to court, notifying them that they're in violation.
Right.
So why street lighting dedication? Number one, when street lighting is to be dedicated to the township, the applicant shall be responsible for all costs involved in the lighting of streets and street intersections until the street is accepted for dedication. I suppose that my question is why we would be committing to that, to being willing to take the street lighting. The roads very often we won't take them.
I don't think the township has to accept the dedication.
Okay. So letter D, this is 407.11. Land surface and groundwater protection. If the proposed use or activity has the potential to alter and contaminate the surface or groundwater, so it originally, the language we were suggesting said alter, and then you put in a note that said contaminate ? And then the end result that I got back is alter and contaminate, which I think sort of lessens what we were looking for, because you can alter without contaminating, and we still wanted the studies if you were altering, not just contaminating.
Can it be and or?
Yeah, it could easily be and or.
It should be alter or contaminate.
Or, okay. So that's a quick fix.
Or, yeah.
And then 407.12, water supply. If the use will withdraw 2,000 gallons per day or more over any consecutive 30-day period. My problem with that language is the word consecutive, because it doesn't say average.
To be an average of 2,000 gallons per day over a consecutive 30 day.
Okay, so with that one word being added in, then I'm good with that. But that
I think it should be use of 2,000 gallons per day under any circumstance, period. Why over 30 day? Why over?
It's averaging it over a 30-day period. So one day they might withdraw 10 gallons per day. The next day they might withdraw 10,000 gallons per day.
That was the whole point. But that they didn't draw 10,000 gallons in a day.
My comment on that would be, and John, you could chime in on this. If you're only drawing the more than 2,000 gallons because you're filling the fire suppression system one time, you wouldn't necessarily want to make them do all this stuff. If their use is consistent, and that's why I had an issue with the word consecutive, because your manufacturing process is drawing the water, but only 5 days a week because you're closed on the weekend, you wouldn't hit the consecutive.
Right.
But if it's average, you would hit it, right? You would hit it with very little more than 2,000 gallons. So that's, with the word average, I'd be okay with that,
any,
but.
Any use over 2,000 gallons should trigger it. If they have a, if your neighbor has a pool to fill, you tell them to go get a tanker and fill it.
This only doesn't apply to residents, but.
Well, but I mean, I'm just using that as an example.
Yeah.
So why should you allow them to draw 10,000 gallons in one day and not, any time they draw 2,000 gallons, it trips the trigger. If they're gonna do that, then they need to do the water study. So this is about before the project starts.
Yeah, so that's what I was gonna get to. A lot of this is design issues, so.
Right.
Normally what happens is during the design process, you're estimating water usage. So they're going to have to go on record of saying, am I going to be over the 2,000 gallons?
That was the whole point.
Yeah.
And then that trips the trigger for, this is before.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
So this would be, prior to.
So that's why by saying average in a consecutive 30-day period, you're covering that. If you want them to do 30 consecutive days, if they shut down for one day.
Any day they use 2,000 gallons, period.
So you want to cut out the 30-day, consecutive 30-day you would just take out.
No, 2,000, right, exactly.
Yeah.
If they use 2,000 gallons in a day, they need to do the study.
What is your thought, John?
So I think what we're going to see is a lot of applicants will come in and make a stated volume, whatever that is. And if they know the number 2,000 is in there, they're going to come in at 190. that's what they're going to do, right?
Well, if it's at all reasonably potentially possible, yeah.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah. I mean, they will. They'll come in and say, we're 1,990. It's just like with, the 1 acre threshold for permits for MPDS, they come in and say 0.99 or 0.95, whatever. They'll go on record stating it's less. Yeah.
Will that be enough to cool the data center?
So then, how do you?
This is 407, all commercial.
How do you catch that 2,000 gallon?
Well, we'd have to have them submit during design, what their anticipated flows are, and then they would have to go on record stating this. I mean, but the problem is, and I see this in a lot of projects, they do average over time. Like a lot of health departments will allow you to monitor water usage over a period of time. So, you might be 1,800 one day, but you might be 2,200 the next day, but you're averaging out to 2,000.
How do you track that when you're not a metered water user?
Well, it would be in a metered case, yeah.
Right,
those kind of variables are acceptable.
Yeah, those are.
But when you get these huge
fluctuations
that's what's going to affect your groundwater.
Yeah,
right. But I don't think the 2000 guy who's he's at 1999 or he's at 2010. He's not the one you're worried about. Typically,
I think it's a number to set a benchmark. And I think I don't know if we should add the 30 days. I think we just say if you're going to exceed 2,000, period. And then it's up to them to demonstrate where that 2,000 comes
then
from.
Then they can bring up if they want to deal with 30
if they
days
want to do an average or whatever. Right. I think you just set a benchmark and say, this is it,
Okay, so what we would want to do there is not have the word average. We would want to strike out any consecutive 30-day period. And just say, if the use will draw 2,000 gallons per day or more.
Yeah, I think that's how you do it. You set the benchmark and
then when they come in and say it's an average, then they say 10,000 gallons one day.
That's erroneous, right?
Right.
So, I mean, it's very common to take averages over 30-day periods for, health departments, for instance, because you might be 1,800 one day, you might be 2,200, you might be 2,100, you might be 1,700, and you average over time. But I think they have to submit their design basis when they come in. I think you give them a benchmark. Because I don't know if you can average out. And part of their analysis might be a 30-day average. They say that this is what we anticipate over a 30-day average. But I don't know if we should state that. I think we just give them a mark and say 2,000, period.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
But isn't that data center commercial? So the data center has to follow this.
The data center would have to follow whichever is more strict, this or the data center overlay.
Right.
So this, doesn't this look quite strict? 2,000 isn't, I was just wondering if this is too strict for data center, whichever is stricter.
What it means is that they have to provide a water study then.
Yeah.
If they're going to draw that much water to make sure that they're not going to, for example, draw down so much water that you turn the tap on at your house and you can't get any.
Right.
That's what it's trying to protect, to make sure that they've done enough water studies to protect the other people from the water being taken away from their use that they're already accustomed to.
Quite frankly, what it's going to do is encourage them to have a closed loop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. They're going to have to demonstrate to us how they're, you know, how they're not. You know, how they're recycling the water or...
back in the ground.
So for a closed loop, how much water do they need?
It depends. It's totally
depends
fluctuates.
On the size of the data center.
Right. Right. And how they're cooling. They don't all cool with water, and some use strange water. Like now they're starting to use reclaimed water from mine drainage or fracking water, or they're using gray water, or they're doing all kinds of weird stuff to try to reduce how much water
it's only speculation, but my opinion is they're not going to be able to sustain the use of water the way they are. They're going to come up with another compound to cool with.
They're already doing it. They're doing liquid nitrogen.
Yep.
They're doing seawater. They're sinking the whole thing in the sea. Deep enough that it doesn't, like, they're doing all kinds of weird stuff.
Space is where it should be.
Yeah.
This data center should be out of the atmosphere. Well, I'm serious.
Oh, I agree with you.
I think they're going to, they're looking at alternatives.
So the last, are you glad to hear the last question that I had was right under that section. Copies of all any applications and supporting documents filed under section 40712 shall be immediately forwarded to the municipal authority of the borough of Milford for review and comment. And my question was, by whom? By the applicant? By the office? If we don't say by whom, they're going to go like the scarecrow in the Wizard of Oz.
Well, I don't think it needs to even go there unless they're going to be using the borough municipal authority's water.
Well, I think the point of...
I think the whole point of 407 was to satisfy the water authority.
I understand that, but if you're not going to be hooked to the borough authority's water, why should they have to get an application?
Well, just because they get a...
What about my water?
That's your water. Why should
they... Yeah, are they going to use my water?
Well, there's a lot of places they're going to...
I think the borough's already using your water.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I look at that map over there. There's one spot where I think data center should be. Can you guess where it is?
On the other side of the river?
It's the middle of that freaking green thing right there.
In the middle of the game lands?
See, I don't know a lot about this zoning stuff and all that, okay? I'm ignorant when it comes to that. But as far as data centers go, my problems with data centers are noise pollution. What are they doing with water, and how are they powering the freaking thing? Those are my three things.
And that's pretty extensively laid out in the ordinance that's being prepared and submitted for consideration.
Have you got distances and everything figured out and everything?
Well, they've got distances, and it's 100 feet, 50 of which they could put some stuff in.
100 feet?
Yeah. And that's why I said that in deciding whether to go from 25% of the property to 65% of the property, one of the things we would consider is requests from sensitive receptors to increase the buffer. Since it's a conditional use, we have more latitude how far to go on that. and if your sensitive receptor includes a residence. So there's a big difference between your EconoPac and you've got, even EconoPac, you've got the child care center across the street, But there's a little difference between you're down here on the three lane and not next to a neighborhood, which we have plenty of here too, or you're, right on top of a residential neighborhood. I don't think we have a great place for a data center in the township with the aquifer that we sit on top of and the size of our community. Our community is small and a huge percentage of it is already entirely protected property where nothing can be built. We like it that way, but it affects our taxes. It affects our ability to have jobs built in the community, but it also affects this sort of forced acceptance where we have to have a place for every kind of use. Having to have a place for every kind of use when we have a lot of area that we can't do anything means we have a small area where we have to be allowed to do almost anything. And that, that creates some agita.
With due respect, we're getting away from Gary's question.
When
and how do we notify the water authority? What if that was the impetus to the start of this? So where do we get the language to see if you put any public water supply that would be affected? If it's in 407, because it affects, that applies to all commercial development.
Right.
So if they're in the zone here because we've got public water here, then they need to report it to them.
Right, I agree with that. If they're up on Route 6.
Well, in our water protection ordinance, we identified it as community wells. So if we, perhaps the language is, if it affects community wells.
That's what I'm saying, yes.
Then they have to notify the community well owners rather than saying the water.
Does that answer your question?
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So then that begs the question of what Bill is bringing up. What about the more private well owner like myself and Bill?
Which is it would be difficult to notify every. On the other side of the table, what would you be looking at to notify Kevin that there was going to be a potential water impact? First of all, the engineer's going to say, there's not going to be any water impact to you, Kevin. Mm-mm. No way.
Well, your study criteria is going to call that out, right?
Yeah, I think if you're drawing more than 2,000 gallons per day, you're going to need to do a study.
You're going to need to do a study.
And that would notify whoever would be affected.
Correct. Yeah. Anybody that's within.
No, we're talking about something.
Cover everything at that point. Once you get into the study, I think you have to look at all adjoining wells that are going to be impacted by your usage. Up to 2,000, I think it's a good number, and that's why we settled on the number because, I think up to 2,000, it's really hard, without monitoring every single well in the area to determine how much you're impacting. I get this question all the time with residential subdivisions, like the more wells we're putting in, how's it affecting the guy down the road?
Yeah.
It's really hard to do that.
I know my son's well lives up on Route 6, dropped 18 feet when they did Dollar General across the street.
Yeah.
18 feet it dropped.
Obviously, the more
they hit the same vein.
Yeah.
Must have.
The more wells you pop in, you're gonna lower the aquifer. We know that.
Yeah, but his drops 18 feet.
It's hard to say, if I do a two-lot subdivision, and how am I going to impact the neighbor across the street?
Yeah, and his well's over 300 feet deep.
It's hard to tell. We don't study at that low level.
You know where he lives, Kev.
Yeah.
His well's over 300 feet.
I have a well that's 120 feet. They can't measure it. My neighbor, 400 feet away, has 400 feet of well in a gallon and a half a minute.
Gallon and a half.
A gallon and a half a minute, I mean.
Oh, well, I was going to say an hour.
Yeah. Woo, they have a heck of a tank.
I think you got to get
hydrofrack that, yeah.
That's from Boswell.
And my mom.
Yep, and then they hit it again. And then
yeah, I've seen that too. I've seen
it. But it's just amazing.
And mine's 120 feet.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a combination.
Well, next door is 60-something. My mother's house.
I don't know. On top of the hill. Some of Moo Valley Road are only 15, 20 feet.
Yeah.
It depends. Yeah. Over time, it's going to change.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I think the one thing we know is the more wells you pop in, you're going to draw down.
Yeah.
The aquifer's lower. That we know.
So we've outlined very specifically what changes we're making off of the document. You gave me a Word document. I can make those exact changes and send it back. But this document didn't come with the ordinance preamble that, you know, at this date and time, the supervisors are adopted, blah, blah, blah. Can you do that? Or do I need, you can do that. Would you do that? I'll send you back the Word document with the exact changes and redlined. My fear on this, when we send it to the county, is that the county is going to be looking for the red line version that shows them exactly what's different than the existing ordinance.
I'm sure.
And they're going to want to kick it back if it's not. I think they'll have to deal with it.
That's not their job.
We'll see what happens when we send it. We'll send what we have. I'll send you a red line so you can see exactly what I changed off of yours and track it and compare it. But if you can put the preamble together, then I'm confident to send it to the county.
They haven't reviewed 407 yet.
Correct.
Correct.
So what are you going to show them the changes?
Right. Send it the way we
got it. It would be off of the existing ordinance. Not changes from the last edit version. This would be changes for here's what the existing ordinance is. Here's redlined. Of what we're changing from the existing ordinance. I do think they'll push back. I think they'll review it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's vastly different, though.
It is.
I mean, it's a vastly different document.
It's not even the same document.
Yeah, it's so
it's basically
much more
a new ordinance.
They need
it's
to really
more extensive.
Look at it as new because it's
yeah.
just
yeah,
because
the changes
point.
Are extensive.
Yeah.
Okay, so I will send you the red line. You can accept the changes. Once you're confident that they are what we said today, and put if you can add the preamble to it, and we can get it off to the county with those changes, I'll make a motion that we send 407 to the county for review.
I'll second that motion. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Thank you to the Planning Commission for your lengthy and extensive work on this. It's taken a long time to get this right
yes.
and finished, and we're pleased to have it moving forward.
Fire hydrant fees. John Clemmer's response. I think we just not getting any complaints on
Did
any
you
of the
read
fees.
Your
response? No, we didn't.
I don't think that it's been available for anyone else to read it. I sent you some screenshots of it, Kevin, but so. First and foremost, the Water Authority has said that they will no longer be billing the township and they're not seeking to shut any service off to the township.
Right.
So those are things that were unclear and they just sort of said that was done in error.
Yes.
That we received threats for service to be shut off.
How do you make threats in error?
Because they have a separate billing entity.
They have a
entity.
Billing company that does it all for them.
And so it's automatic.
Come from the billing company, right?
Yeah, they did. They
yeah,
came
they
on the bill.
They came on the bill.
They didn't come on approval of their attorney?
No.
Nope.
Come right on their bill. If you don't pay
so they're
shut
off.
Hard to believe.
Yeah. They're shut off.
Come on.
Shut off notices.
Come on.
Yeah.
So the...
Thank you.
Excuse me, y'all, but if you're finished
yes.
with me, I will sign off.
Okay, we are. Thank you very much,
Thank
Nancy.
You,
Thank you, Nancy.
Okay. Thanks, so. Bye.
I'm sure we have a copy here. They do give a very heavy-handed calculation as to how they arrive at their numbers for where they're...
Has Mr. Fuller seen this?
Probably not.
What's
that? The letter from the Water Authority?
No,
I don't think so.
I have not seen it, no.
It's probably interesting reading. And I didn't see it in the packets. Do you have a copy?
It's not bad.
I don't really see any correspondence that's not oriented to the ordinance. Here it is.
It's here.
It is here.
There's so much here.
So I think...
Can we post that on Facebook, Milford Township, or what?
We certainly could put it online. We could also put it on our website, because I think we have a whole area where we have the Water Authority stuff on the site, don't we?
Right.
Yeah, so I think we should add that to it.
Yes.
So the public can see. Under the bus.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that.
They don't specifically say the billing company. They just say that it was an error.
Yeah.
Neighbors, let me think about what I'm
going to
say.
You got to be like Elon, see? Like Elon, when somebody asks him a question, I've seen him sit there for 20 seconds formulating his answers, you know, and then spewing it out. So, how about it?
Building fire hydrants?
I think that for now we should post that notice on the website and have a discussion when council is present and folks have had a chance to take a look at it.
Quite honestly, I don't believe that your council has been representing you adequately in the reference to this fire hydrant thing. It's pure and simply, from an observer's point of view, waiting for a response, and then there's been no real reply from the township about any of it. That's my personal opinion. And Mr. Kleinmeier's recent letter borders on sarcasm.
As did the first one.
Huh?
As did the first one.
Well, clearly the first one, but... I would encourage the supervisors to have an attorney that has a little more specialization in this. You know, you've got a problem with Milford Water Authority because they don't come under the purview of the Public Utility Commission. So
they kind of can do what they want to do.
Indeed. But this clearly is not there hasn't been any attempt to have an amiable conversation about any of this. It's just...
No, the only time we want to sit down with is if we do it privately.
Well, what does that mean? This is a public...
Two public entities.
Right.
Two public entities have a private meeting. And it's
Do you like the math on there, John?
He's
shaking his head. I looked at it and I don't know anything about it.
Well, it's like the warehouse expense defense.
Yeah. We didn't tell him to spend that money.
Money, yeah, I know. That's a huge number.
Yeah.
But that's not our issue. That's not the user's issue either.
No.
Is that a letter that's public now?
Indeed.
Yes.
We've discussed it at a public meeting. It's public, and it's going to be posted on our website. And you're welcome to a copy, Bill.
Okay. I'll take it.
We can get you another copy if you want, Dave.
I would, yes.
Very good. Do you have a copy in your packet you could give Dave?
I think so.
Too bad our reporter isn't here.
Well, the borough has, I guess, some interesting discussions happening this evening.
No, do they?
So I'm sure they've attracted all the attention.
So that's over now?
I would say that it is yet to be finished in terms of discussion. The stormwater crossing priorities, do you want to schedule a meeting with them? Do you want to hold that off till Tony gets back?
Yes.
And the facilities project bidding and pen bid, I think we're all straightened out on that now?
Yes.
Yeah, so you heard what he had to say, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's a private entity that provides a public platform, you know, which we can use. The issue that happened when we bid, you know, when we did the bridge project a little over a year ago, like, we accepted bids in, you know, here at the township.
Yeah.
They did not flag that. But when these two most recent bids went up, they basically held them up, you know, from launching because of the language that we used, which was exactly the same that we used a year ago for the bridge. And essentially, everything goes through their platform. So my only concern about the other elements that we talked about, the a la carte, a lot of them are very small scopes. So, like, you know, when you're talking about carpet replacement or roofing, I mean, I don't know how many entities actually use this platform. I was kind of, you know, enlightened a little bit tonight in what he shared is, you know, that they do have small projects and bidders aren't penalized up to like $24,500 or whatever he said. Because I knew that, you know, if you use the platform, you pay a fee. Like if you're the
winning bid,
you pay them. You know, that's essentially what it is. And so I was just hesitant, you know, based on the what I'll call the a la carte components, because we have a lot of really small scopes there.
We have a lot of local builders.
And there's a lot of local stuff. I mean, you know, some of these items are not. They don't. I don't know how many local contractors actually use this platform.
Well, the ones I've spoke to have never even heard of it.
Yeah. I mean, I do think the paving bids, absolutely. The salt bid, absolutely. You know, those are the best platforms to get widespread and quality bids. I don't know about these other elements. That's my only concern.
Well, one major caution that I would say in that regard is that because this is funded through these state grants, they still have to both pay prevailing wage and provide certified payrolls.
Yeah.
So if you're a micro-sized business, you actually don't have to do certified payrolls if you don't have any employees. Mm-hmm. But they'll help you through the whole process, and you know it's microscopic for the amount of stuff. Your ad directs them to the pen bid, so they would get hooked up in there.
Yeah.
But if they can't handle prevailing wage and they can't handle certified payrolls, then they're not a fit for us on this project because we have no choice.
Right.
With the funding source that we're using. It comes along with those strings, and they have to be abided by. And they do have to be abided by for all the components of the project. The process that LSA uses doesn't allow you to segment portions of what you're spending the grant money out to say, well, this piece, the carpet's only $8,000, so we don't have to do prevailing wage on that. They look at everything you're spending the grant on, so the entirety of the grant triggers everything that you're paying for with their money to be following all of their protocols. And it's, it's unfortunate that as yet the legislature hasn't increased the amount that's subject, you know, the floor, but it hasn't in this administration very clearly in every meeting and every venue that I've seen them appear in is not going to touch anything that appears to be harming prevailing wage. So we have to live with the rules that we have to abide by. But I'm glad to see, you know, Delaware Township was using it. I know when I spoke to Freddie on the phone, he said Damascus uses it for everything over in Wayne County. I think there's a lot of opportunity there for us to get exposure that, you know, people don't necessarily look at what's printed in the legal section of the dispatch. So although the little contractor maybe doesn't know PennBid, they also probably aren't looking at the legal section of the dispatch.
Oh, I don't disagree with that notion. I'm thinking about the grouping of scope. Like, I'm assuming, you know, we could break it up as much as we want.
Yeah.
And I don't know, based on how different each one of the scopes are that we have lumped into this, like, does it make sense that we now do just a roofing bid only? Right, and then break that out from the other renovations that we're proposing, because I think the roofing component is a completely different element from some of the interior work that we're looking to do.
And the roofing is the only thing that wasn't in the scope that was approved by the grant. CFA is supposed to meet on Wednesday, but it's not anticipated that they're going to do statewide until September, from what the analysts are talking about. So that's the soonest. And anything that's awarded before September wouldn't be eligible for use if you, with any grant dollars that aren't awarded until September. But we have, $349,000 to cover a large swath of...
Yeah, I mean, we had listed roofing as our third priority.
Yeah.
But if it's not covered, you know, do we bump, you know, just bid it separately?
It has to be on that a la carte portion so we can do it. What doesn't hurt us, John, is if it's on that a la carte portion and we see what the price is but we don't award it... Mm-hmm. We have a good idea of the number. Now, we did put some money in our budget this year because we weren't sure we were going to get any money. So we had, I think, $50,000 or $55,000 out of our existing budget that we put into the facility improvements this year. And then we got awarded $124,000. Now, counterbalancing that is the massive increase in the cost of the paving.
Yeah.
So... You know, it's an up and down. But the worst that happens is we get a good look at the price, we don't award it, and we either, you know, hold back that portion and wait and see if we get an award in September and bid it again, you know, just the roof.
Yeah.
I don't think there's particularly harm in that, as long as we don't accidentally award it. If we award it and then we get money in September, then we can't use it for that. That's It's as simple as that. We have no guarantee that we would get any more.
Yes.
Yeah, we've been very well blessed by our legislators with the 350. We're very grateful.
I'm just thinking that.
Okay.
John, when you do the bids of the newspapers, is there any way to make them smaller? Those two bids that we did for the salt were $500 a piece.
Due to the length?
Yep.
Really? Well, yeah, we could definitely strip them down.
Especially if you're directing people to get the bid packages off of PennBid.
Because we still got legally advertised in the newspaper.
Right.
So if you can make them smaller, as short as possible, because those two were $500 a piece from the dispatch.
Wow.
That's hard to believe.
$500 for one, $510 for the other one.
And it's like by line in the... every line. Costs a little more.
I just looked at that bill and signed that check. And it was $500 for each one of those.
And that's what he was saying about PennBid. You know, if your ad is just directing them to get the documents off of PennBid, and they're directing them to the name of the project and where they can find it, you know, it's a pretty short ad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we'll definitely strip that down now. Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I mean, it's $500.
For that one.
And the next one back here was 510, because they had a couple extra words.
That's insane.
This is why you see municipalities pushing to be able to put these things on their websites and not have to put them in paper.
I don't want to be part owner of the dispatch.
Unfortunately,
two simple columns.
Yep.
We also need the press.
Yep.
To be informed on what happens in our community, so I just wish they were not.
And then they charge you $5 to sign that. God strike me, it's $5 for each one of them sheets with their signature in there.
which you need to have.
Which you need to have.
As legal proof.
I'd be curious to see, like, even if we were to make it a quarter, like, how much it would be. You know.
Yeah. Her signature in that stamp was $5. On top of the 500. Unbelievable, isn't it? If we have nothing else, then...
We have any other public participation?
I'm just going to ask that.
Where are we with the 537?
We're going to discuss it at the next planning commission.
Okay.
Yeah.
We've got...
Yeah. That's what we discussed.
We're on point with that.
Okay. Yeah, that's what we discussed last month.
Yeah. That goes in here.
That's here.
Nothing else
on
it.
Okay.
Yep.
Nothing else on employee participation. I'll make a motion we pay the bills and adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Thank you, everybody.
All right. Thank you.